Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score! Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Baez hits a base hit up the middle. The Cubs win it. A sharp single, a line drive right back through the box. The Cubs win it by a score of 2-1 in 11 innings. David Bodie comes in to score. Javier Baez drives in the run. And in 11 innings, the Cubs prevail by a score of 2-1, and the Cubs are celebrating. High fives, not too many bear hugs.
Yeah, I was talking. I missed the beginning of it. I was kind of talking a couple things that I wanted to address with the coach and staff. And then I look out there, me and Will were talking, I look out there, and they're all jumping around with their hands. I thought that was a cool, I was making a picture of that. I'm sure it'll be all over social media some point if I want to look it up tonight, but when I looked out it definitely made me smile and laugh in the moment. Javi in the middle of everybody just kind of jumping around, that was fun to see.
Ground ball, second base. Madrigal finishes off the game and he completes his best game as a major leaguer. Four hits for Nick Madrigal and a 9-2 Sox victory to sweep the Kansas City Royals, and that feels real good.
We like to play limitless baseball. Sometimes you win games with homers. Sometimes you win games with stringing a lot of things together. Ultimately, the tone of the game is set by the pitcher. So you need runs to win ball games, but you need pitching to keep you in games in order to give your offense a chance to work. And so you can do it in many different ways. And maybe, as you say, Ryan, maybe we're that capable in many different ways to be able to do things.
Mully and Hawes, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR, lovely people, for the David Ross cut, and NBC Sports Chicago. Equally lovely people. They gave us the Rick Renteria cut, and we appreciate that. So fun to hear from the managers after a couple of sweeps. And there's nothing wrong with building some momentum to a season.
Well, they're in good moods, and they built momentum, and they created a lot of excitement and enthusiasm. And, Mully, you want to be honest about how you feel on the Monday morning after a weekend sweep of both teams. And, you know, the prevailing thought that I have is you just hope it can continue. I mean, that's the thing that you watched over the weekend, and you saw both teams look as good as they did and have as much fun as they are. And it's fun from a baseball fan's perspective. And you just hope that it can continue, because we're lucky here in Chicago that we have not been we've not had either the White Sox or the Cubs schedule really affected yet by this outbreak and by the pandemic. Because you look around and you see the Marlins and you see the Cardinals and you see everything that's going on with the way that their schedules and seasons have been disrupted already. And you just hope for the Cubs and White Sox perspective that it can continue and MLB can finish the season, because if they can, then a lot seems possible for both teams.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to look at it through a straw. I mean, I'm just trying to keep my focus on the Cubs and the Sox and not look up, because if you do, it's very scary, and you wonder about the season and how it's going to go. And, you know, an example of that might be the White Sox today in Milwaukee. So you got Carlos Rodon, and you know that he gave up five earned runs, I think he got into the fourth in his first start. So you're worried about him and how's he going to be. And I haven't really thought about the Brewers and the layoff they've had, right? The Cardinals came to town, and so the Brewers weren't allowed to play them because the Cardinals had some positive tests, and we'll find out this morning how many more there are. And I know that, we've heard from people saying within their organization saying that it's sickening that people are looking at how they got it. But guess what? You got to find out how they got it. And if they got it because some guys went to a casino, that's idiotic. And that's what scares you about this season, is whether everyone's going to take it seriously or whether there is going to be the possibility that that a lot of people don't want to live in a little bubble and they want to get out and they, you know, have a Jones to gamble or hit the club or whatever it might be. And that is not the way to go about your business. And that's not going to keep the baseball season going. So you're letting down the whole industry if you're doing things like that. And it's just bothersome. But I am concentrating on getting a good outing from Carlos Rodon, and I'm not worried about the rust for the Brewers.
Right. And I think with the Brewers, boy, you really, your heart goes out to that organization. And they lost Lorenzo Cain, who decided to opt out. That was right. A bit of a surprise. It shouldn't maybe be, but I think when you see a name that big, it was a bit of a stunner. Then they have Ryan Braun, who's injured, I think, on the injured list with the finger. And then, you know, their bench coach, Pat Murphy, who was is a good friend going way back when he was a coach at Notre Dame. Molly, your heart goes out to him. You wish him well, because he had a heart attack over the weekend, and he's apparently resting well in a Milwaukee hospital. But that is a franchise and a team that has been through a lot emotionally, has been through a lot just in the layoff, and obviously you hope that they can play tonight in Milwaukee, because you wonder about the rust, you wonder about a lot of factors, and I think that you're right. You can only look at this thing hopefully through a straw, and you try to stay positive. And from the White Sox perspective, from the Cubs perspective, control only the things that you can. And they have done a nice job of doing that on both sides of town.
And the Cubs, I mean, you want to talk about a great opportunity. They got the Royals coming into town for four. And that's a bad Royals team, man. That is not a good team. We know that. Now, maybe Pittsburgh's worse. I don't know. But but
maybe.
But the Royals are coming in. Danny Duffy always was a problem. So he's, I know he hasn't started phenomenally, but this is his third start of the season, but he's a dangerous player, and you got to be aware of him. I'm very curious to see what Alec Mills does tonight here on the Score. It should be a lot of fun to see that. So we're looking forward to it. There's things to look forward to, and there's things to worry about that have nothing to do with the opponent, as long as they can keep showing up and playing games.
Keep showing up, keep playing games, and keep sweeping opponents that you should be sweeping.
That's right.
And the Royals give you that kind of hope and opportunity. You think Millsy could have a good showing tonight, and then you get to the back of the start of the rotation. This rotation has been the strength of this team. It goes without saying, but they are 6-2 as a starting rotation. 2.21 ERA, 51 strikeouts in 53 innings with only 10 walks, Mully, and opponents hitting 159 against Cubs starters. That is how you start the way the Cubs have started, focused, consistent, and reliant on pitching. And they have gotten some good hitting as well, because they have all those home runs. So this is a dangerous team.
312-644-6767 is the number. We'll start with Kevin. He's in Palatine. Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning. I just told him when he answered the phone, I hate starting a Monday morning agreeing with my friend, Mr. Z-Pack, but you can never, ever. He is 100% right. You can never, ever let that guy with his gasoline can go out there in the ninth inning ever again with Kimbrel. He is broken. And I know I said it after that first day, and David kind of giggled at me a little bit. David, he's a broken dude, man. It's just not going to work. Here's when he can come in. Up 10 or down 10. Sometime in the fifth, If someone doesn't make it out of the fourth, he can never, ever be in a high leverage situation again. He's just awful. He's done. So let's try some of these other guys. I've actually seen a few things that I've liked out of some other guys. And just once again, and I know this is not the this is a little bit of a sore subject, but I do just want to put in a plug again for Wilson Contreras. When you guys see the numbers start coming out, his framing has been way better this year, and he is an offensive juggernaut. So, David, I will admit, there's three good catchers in town. But always just remember that. There's three really good catchers in town, and Wilson is great. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
I don't remember giggling, but I do remember thinking that Craig Kimbrel was maybe worth trying again, but I don't think that you have seen any reason to go back to him, and I would agree that you cannot put him in a high-leverage situation. It's what you saw on Friday night was just something you can't you just can't put up with, and you can't risk happening again and again.
What would be a reason to use him again? Can you think of any reason? Can you think of, you know, I mean, you can't really Kelvin Herrera the guy, if you know what I'm saying.
You can't do that, Mully. The only reason you would, again, go back to him is if you see progress, if you see something that you believe has signaled a change. They say he's working through some things. They've mentioned some mechanical issues. And if you see some progress that way, I would still be skeptical from now until, you know, through this season. But I think that if you ask the question, what is the scenario under which you would maybe go back to him, it would only be that you have seen something change in his bullpen sessions that give you some sort of hope. But look at this stat. Chris Kamka, our guy from NBC Sports Chicago. With the Cubs, Craig Kimbrel has allowed four times multiple home runs in 25 games. Four times in 25 games. Before that, once in 542.
I got to tell you, in a different world, in a meritocracy, he would not be on that roster. But he's on the roster. And why is he on the roster? Because they're paying him. And they're not just paying him a little bit. They're paying him a lot of money. So they're going to try to fix him. And you're going to see him again. And he did throw the ball 97 miles an hour, which is a lot faster than he has been throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And so whatever is wrong with him is seemingly fixable. And I think some of it is his confidence. I think some of it I think you don't use him in high leverage for a while, but I would be stunned if we don't see him again later on, if indeed this all continues, because of the paycheck, period, end of story.
Yeah, you have to try to get a return on that investment at any cost, and I think that at some point, you know, you have to give up. But I don't think the Cubs are at that point yet. They've seen him twice. It looks very familiar. But I don't think you can put him in a high-leverage situation again, because that just isn't fair to everybody else. Mully, I wonder if these kind of phantom injuries, you wonder if he's got a stint on the IL coming up.
Yes.
Because that would make a lot of sense.
I totally agree with you. I think that's what we're looking at is, you know, you create one of these injuries, and then you can use him, you can move him and try to work on him. And, you know, but they're, you know, I used Kelvin Herrera as an example. They're not going to throw this guy out, right? I mean, Kelvin Herrera is, you know, doesn't have it, didn't have it, wasn't going to get it back, and they are paying him some money, not nearly Kimbrel money, but it was like, okay, well, we're done with him. Goodbye. And then he clears waivers because everyone else saw it, and they say, okay, right. Well, hey, you know, goodbye again. We're not inviting you to Schaumburg. So I think that's a rough one. But that's kind of, that's, you know,
but
I feel bad about Kimbrel because he drives people crazy.
He does. In the Herrera case, the White Sox did what they had to do, but they do have better alternatives. With
yes.
the Cubs, do they really have better alternatives? They don't have as much depth in the bullpen as the White Sox do.
Yeah, and I think that there's always a difference between what the fans think should happen with a guy and what the organization believes should happen with a guy. So I think we're at that crossroads right now. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Here comes the 3-2 to Schwarber. He puts one in the air to deep center field. Going back is Tucker. It's over his head. Bounces off the wall. Contreras rounding third. He's coming home. Here comes the throw. The slide. He is safe. The ball gets by the catcher Stallings. And at second base is Schwarber. Cubs tie up the game 1-1 here in the fifth inning on the shot to deep center by Schwarber.
That great clip of the week by the great Zach Zabin is presented by Great Clips. Great haircuts at Great Clips. It's going to be great.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's really interesting that that's our great clip of the week because it involves Kyle Schwarber. And you could make an argument, David, that maybe one of the greatest clips of the week was instead his throw to home plate. And and again, involving Kyle Schwarber and a guy that everyone thought was going to be a DH and a guy that nonetheless is in the outfield and a guy that throws a pinpoint ball to get the man on second in your first go round of extra innings, and that gave the Cubs the opportunity where they eventually won the game.
Yeah, Kyle Schwarber, who everyone assumed would be in the DH if the Cubs had played nine games, people thought he'd be there at least eight times, right? He's been in the outfield, I think, eight times, and I think he's been the DH once. They have a lot of different options. He has been really good, and that was a really big highlight of the weekend, full of many for both teams. And Mully, we were sort of talking and communicating during the break and over the weekend. Who had the best individual performance of a Chicago athlete over the weekend, and what choices do we have in town? From you have Luis Robert, who on Saturday was 4-for-6, right, with 9 total bases.
It was incredible.
Nick Madrigal, 4 hits yesterday in his first weekend as a major leaguer. You had Tyler Chatwood, who on Saturday was outstanding again, 6 2/3 scoreless. 11 strikeouts. And then Dominic Kubalik, the Blackhawk rookie, who in his first postseason game sets an NHL record with 5 points, 2 goals, 3 assists, and was at the right time, at the right place at the right time, is seemingly the entire game. So of those choices, who had the best individual performance?
Dominic Kubalik, because of the situation, because you're in a playoff game, because you're setting an NHL record in a playoff game. That makes it, it's the situation that determines the kind of glory of the moment. I think there were a lot of great performances over the weekend. And, you know, I thought that there were a lot of good performances with the Blackhawks. But when you're talking about a guy in his first playoff game, he's playing with a bunch of guys that have won cups. You know, you look around and the Blackhawks might be the youngest team in the NHL bubble, but they've got unbelievable experience all over the ice, guys that have had careers and done phenomenal things in huge moments. And to end up setting a record and being that guy, I don't know how you go any other direction. I just think it's an extraordinary thing to be able to do that in your first ever playoff game.
I think you're probably right. I would agree with you. I wonder, it looked like he was just unfazed. And I think that felt like, you know, it had playoff implications, but I'm not sure it felt like an overall playoff game because it was the first one in so long. Mm-hmm. So you had that sort of element to it as well. You wonder about the fluky nature of it, but there was nothing fluky about the way the Hawks dominated the Oilers in 5-on-5 situations. Corey Crawford, I think you could also throw into that mix. He wasn't, I guess, did you think, I mean, he was more solid than spectacular, but just the fact that he had overcome what he overcame in terms of battling the coronavirus and being back on the ice, and you didn't know how effective he would be. You didn't know if he would be there, and there he was, turning away. You know, I think he was pretty good until the last 10 minutes,
right?
And then it got really kind of interesting.
Yeah, there were a couple of goals late, and you know, I don't know. I you got to look at what the guy went through to get there. And the fact that he's basically playing with no time at all, I thought his performance was spectacular. I really did, and I agree with what you said. It was definitely kind of workmanlike and solid, as opposed to some guy standing on his head, spectacular save after spectacular save. But to have had the limited amount of time that he had and win a playoff game, and I get it, you know, you're in the bubble and it's different and all of that, but I thought that was just fantastic and really enjoyed that performance. But if I got to take one guy, it's Dominik Kubalík, because of that.
Yeah, it makes sense, and I think he had a really strong rookie year, but, Molly, I think within you look at the 5 points, and that's historic. But then you look at Luis Robert, and my goodness, I think it just is jaw-dropping. He saw 10 pitches on Saturday night, and he ended up with 9 total bases. Right. He had a home run, 2 doubles and a single, scored 2 runs, and you don't get the sense that it was like a one-off either. You feel like he could do that almost every time out or once a series because of just how explosive he is at the plate.
I think it's really fascinating to think about the future with the White Sox, because after that game, he and Aloy were together on the Zoom call, and Aloy was just cracking up. That you could see the friendship of it was like watching like a comedy routine, the way they were going back and forth, and you know, it was a lot of it was just Aloy and just him cracking up, and I loved it. And I thought to myself, like, God, this is unbelievable. We're gonna get to watch all these guys develop together, you know? At some point, Nick Madrigal looks like a leadoff hitter, right? Although I love him in the 9 hole, because it's like you get a leadoff guy, and then you had Louis Robert at bat, and then you had the Cuban Missile Crisis following that. It's just incredible to see those guys and how good they are, and to think about them being together. So you had 4 Cuban players, 1, 2, 3, 4 in your lineup, first time in Major League Baseball. And then you followed that with 3 players from the Dominican Republic. And then you got into the bottom of the lineup. I mean, they really have a hell of a baseball team. And it reminded me a little bit. I remember, you know, when they won the World Series, and I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series this year or right now or in the near future, although I probably believe that somewhere in my heart. But it was incredible to go into that locker room, that clubhouse, and you had like different neighborhoods, and you had all these reporters. You had tons of Japanese reporters that were covering Tadahito Iguchi. It was just hysterical to see the different groups and like the neighborhoods that existed within the clubhouse. And I loved that idea. And I think it's a real important thing to have a lot of international flavor. And the White Sox have got some great young players on that team. And we're going to watch them grow up together.
It's so much fun. I mean, you got the top of the order and sort of the Cuban quad, the 4 guys, and they were – I didn't realize that was a distinction, but it was a cool one to make.
Right.
The White Sox tweeted that out. And then they did all this without Tim Anderson healthy, and you wonder how long he is going to be out. But when you add him back into the mix, it's interesting. So you would envision Madrigal long-term as a potential leadoff guy, because
I do.
Their offense is going to be so dangerous. I wonder if he is – somebody that it would be a luxury batting 9th, but I do think he fits the mold of, you know, he's pesky at the plate, not going to strike out, he's going to see a lot of pitches, and he's also fast.
Yeah, I think he'd be great eventually, perhaps, as a leadoff guy. I mean, it seems to kind of fit that role, but I'm with you. I mean, I love the idea of in the second go round in the lineup, before the, you know, the heavy hitters. And I mean, listen, all those guys, I mean, Louis Robert's not, you know, he's not a slug by any stretch of the imagination as a leadoff guy, but it would be great to kind of restart the engine at the bottom and keep going. And David, you know, I don't know what to expect from Nomar Mazara. I know that he was in much higher in the lineup with the Rangers than he will be with the White Sox, that there were great expectations put upon him, and he didn't quite live up to them there. And so they've kind of moved on, and they trade him to the White Sox. But I'm very curious. He's apparently, I know Ricky talked about it, I think yesterday, or the day before that he is he's getting ready to join the team. So that's another left-handed power bat that will be coming into that lineup. You know, we have not seen the White Sox group that we were expecting. We haven't seen them all lined up the way that that you might have imagined before the season began. But the potential for that exists, and certainly, you know, hopefully you get Tim Anderson back in another week or so, and then you got again this idea of Mazzara coming up, and presumably he'll be Engel, they like what he's done thus far, especially against left-handed pitching. So maybe you have a little bit of a platoon out there, but you know it won't be Nicky Delmonico. I'll tell you that that won't be the left-handed bat that they're moving around. It'll be Mazzara.
In fairness to Nicky Delmonico, he did come through yesterday
with a
couple runs batted in, and I think Adam Engel was the guy on Friday night. So the Sox have a lot of depth at their disposal, a lot of options to choose from. That's going to be a nice problem to have for Ricky Renteria. Speaking of leadoff guys, you talk about Madrigal and then Tim Anderson. What was your reaction when you saw David Bodie leading off for the Cubs yesterday when they released their lineup? Because I just waited. I just waited for Cubs Twitter to explode because David Bodie is not a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, is Chris Bryant a leadoff hitter, David, right? So I guess Chris woke up and had some symptoms that, you know, it just had a cough and, you know, whatever you get. I mean, listen, when you're traveling, when you're in hotel rooms, air conditioning, you know, stuff happens, right? So he was worried that he had the virus, and he opted to not. He did what you're supposed to do, which is he followed protocol, and so he wasn't available in the lineup, and you moved David Bodie in, and I thought that had more to do with wanting to keep the other players in the spots they were at than what David Bodie would offer you as a leadoff guy. I don't think that was a long-term solution. I think it was just kind of what they did at that point, right?
Had to be, because the a lineup with Bodie leading off and Fegley in it on a Sunday made you kind of feel
Sunday
like Joe
lineup.
Madden had filled it out. Yeah. It was the Meatloaf lineup. Two out of three is not bad. Go for the sweep. They got it. They, you know, all's well that ends well, but that was quite a moment when they released the lineup, like, what is that?
Yeah, no. It was hilarious because you did scratch your head a little bit. All right, we've got John Heyman next. We can ask him what's going on in the wide world of coronavirus in Major League Baseball. We saw everything that's going on now. You got everybody with the Marlins, all those issues, and now the Cardinals. And how long does the season keep going if teams are going to have these kind of spreads through them, these outbreaks within the organization? We'll ask that of John, and we'll get his take on a couple of guys, big-name guys, opting out. We'll do that next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
This hour brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That is 56david.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to John Heyman. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Morning, John. How are you?
Morning, John.
I'm good. Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing okay. You know, baseball in Chicago is going pretty well. It's just baseball itself might not be going pretty well. And, you know, we were talking this morning a little bit. The Sox are heading to Milwaukee. And you got to wonder what the effect is on the team that didn't get to play because the opponent had had an issue. And certainly that's the case for the Brewers with the Cardinals going through their outbreak. And, man, I mean, it's great that the commissioner wants to keep playing, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's been a rough last several days. The Cardinal outbreak has halted two teams here, so we had six teams not playing over the weekend. That's 20% of the league. So I think that it's better to be cautious and not take a chance on spreading it within your own team. It one positive is so far, at least, doesn't appear that teams spread it to the other team. Miami played three games with Philadelphia with presumably now 18 guys who were positive, and no Phillies players did get it. But I do think it's better to be cautious because, you know, the early mistake was Miami. They had one positive. They played, then they had four positives. And according to the stories, the players voted to play. It shouldn't have been in the players' hands. They should have said don't play. And then all of a sudden, within a few days, Miami had 18. So now with St. Louis, we've had two outbreaks. You know, I'm not sure how many more outbreaks we can take. You know, I understand the commissioner's committed to playing, the owners are committed, and I think the vast majority of players want to play still. So that's a positive, but you're right, it's been rough, certainly the last few days with the St. Louis situation. Now, and we don't know how many positives they have. Miami was pretty direct about what's going on. St. Louis, we've got several are inconclusive. We've got some they've got to take the saliva test, so really not sure, but I would characterize it as an outbreak at this point.
John, there was an unconfirmed accusation by Jerry Hairston Jr. about the Cardinals maybe contracting this from a casino. We know about the Marlins situation. Is there a sense inside baseball that what we're seeing here are outbreaks on two teams that lacked discipline, or are we seeing a situation where you don't know things that are going to happen, and that makes it even harder to control?
I think, you know, I read the 113-page protocols, the operations manual, whatever you want to call it. It was very, very comprehensive. They did a very good job with it. You know, it was impossible for it to be perfect. I believe in there it said that leaving the hotel is strongly discouraged or something along those lines. It is now disallowed. You can't leave the hotel. You know, and I, even with it being disallowed, are there going to be guys who are going to break that rule? You know, it's probably so. It's very hard to stay in a hotel for the full season and not go out and just have room service and that's it. So it's very difficult. You know, they tried. You know, I don't know. On Miami, I've heard that they didn't do a good job of wearing masks and social distancing in the hotel and the bullpen. And it seemed like on the back of the plane there was a group. You know, it seemed like it was friends that were together. But MLB has done an investigation. They have not proven that they went out anywhere at this point. Jerry Hairston has friends in the game. He's got good sources. And I'm glad you brought that up. He's actually going to be on our podcast, Big Time Baseball, with Tony Gwynn Jr., that will be available this week. So we'll see what he has to say. You know, I tend to believe him and his sources that something went wrong and some people went out. You know, I'm not going to say it's the players. It's just human nature. It's hard to stay in a hotel for, you know, a whole season. And, you know, I won't be shocked if that is proven to be true, but I don't know that for a fact at this point.
John, Cespedes has opted out, but the way that he went about it, he first didn't turn up. They seemed like it was just scary to get the, you know, I got a notification from a friend of mine about it, and then you start jumping on Twitter and trying to follow the stories, what's going on, and you worry that something's really gone wrong. And I don't know if something was lost in translation or what happened, but that was a very kind of scary day going through that yesterday. It was difficult to figure out what the deal was, and then you found out he had just opted out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were nervous about it. I when I saw that, I didn't suspect that anything could really be seriously wrong. You know, I didn't feel that way, but I guess many people did. Some of the media and I would seem to be tough on the Mets for releasing the information that he wasn't there. But you know, I'm in the media, and we always want information, and I don't think there was anything wrong with them releasing information. If some people became nervous over it, you know, I mean, that's just the byproduct of information getting out. There's a lot of information that gets out that makes people nervous, but I think it was better that they were upfront about it, and they were nervous about it. They had security go and check, and he cleaned out his room, and I think at that point they must have heard, though they didn't tell us this, they must have heard that he was opting out. Because if, just because his room is cleaned out, I don't know reason why you'd assume that he's okay. I think they must have known and heard from the agent by that point that he was okay. So then they did release the information when they heard that, that he was okay, and I think that's good. So I don't see what anything wrong the team did other than they weren't cognizant of what was going on in Cespedes' mind. And, you know, if you want to blame the team for that, you go ahead and do it. I don't know. Yeah, it seems like people with the team were surprised that he just opted out. And, of course, he cited COVID reasons, but nobody on the team seemed to think that he had been nervous about this. You never know. I mean, Lorenzo Cain, he was taking batting practice and joking the day before, as he does. He's very, very fun-loving, good guy. And then he surprised the Brewers by opting out due to the COVID. But, you know, with Cespedes, you know, there's going to be speculation that he wasn't playing well, and the team wasn't maybe going to have him play every day, and you know, maybe that was the reason. We don't know exactly what went on with Cespedes, but I do think he should have told the team. I mean, if you got an employer and they're wondering where you are, no reason making them nervous, and I hold them responsible for making everybody nervous, not them. I think he had the obligation to call the team and say, you know, I'm opting out for COVID reasons, and nobody's going to criticize anyone for that. It's a very good reason to opt out. Nothing wrong with it. But anyway, we're glad he's okay, and the Mets now will have to move on from there, but they're in a world of hurt right now for a number of reasons in terms of the field and performance.
John, how would you describe Rob Manfred's resolve in wanting to finish this season? And I don't want to say no matter what, but it seems as if in the minimal that we haven't heard from him much, but what we have heard from him, he doesn't seem like he obviously is clear about what it would take for him to cancel the season. We just see veiled reports. We see kind of implications, but. Do you get a sense of, do you know what it would take for him to make that move?
Yeah, he's clearly committed to it. I have not talked to him personally lately, but they had a conference, the owners had a conference call, and he and the owners are resolved to, and they did it on Friday after the Cardinal issues came up, and they're certainly at this moment committed to going forward. And I think the majority of players feel that way, too. It isn't clear. I've read the operations manual, what it would take, and I understand why it wouldn't be at this point. I think it has to be a judgment call. They knew there would be positive cases. The percentage is still low, but obviously the outbreaks on with Miami and St. Louis are very concerning, and it's caused a cancellation of games. I do think that they've made some good adjustments, you know, not playing Philly, not taking any chances with Philly after making that mistake with Miami early, and adjusting the rule where you can't leave the hotel now, and we'll see if everybody can stick to that, but perhaps they should have had that at the beginning. But you know, I don't think we don't know. The short answer is we don't know exactly what it would take, but I can't imagine we're too far away. We can't have, a third outbreak on a team. I don't know. Certainly a fourth outbreak, I can't imagine that you could continue at that point. But we'll see. Two outbreaks, not good. And if anybody becomes seriously ill, that's another issue they'd have to confront. At this point, it seems like many of the players are asymptomatic or have very mild symptoms. So that at least is a positive.
John, the White Sox, listen, I know Kansas City's not great, but they've now won four in a row. And Louis Robert has shown you something every time he's on the field. And they moved him into the leadoff spot, and the guy gets four hits and was sensational. I mean, it's not just hits, he's killing the ball, and everything about him screams kind of rookie of the year. Are you even with the expectations, has he exceeded them?
So far he has. The expectations were enormous. I and everybody else thought he was rookie of the year, going to be rookie of the year. I mean, to me, he's Cunha with speed. It's a pretty good player. superstar should be. You know, obviously it's only been 10 days or so, but, you know, I would say he's exceeded, but I'm not shocked. The guy's going to be fantastic. And the White Sox understood it. They gave him $26 million and then paid the penalty at that point. So I think they invested $50 million to begin with as an amateur, and then they gave him this enormous contract before he'd done anything in the major league. So they got it. They understood it, and good job by them. He's fantastic. And they have a lot of good young players, as you see. So, you know, they're in very good shape for the future going forward. I got to congratulate them for how they've done it.
Yeah, it's been a long wait, John, but it looks like it's going to have
fun.
I know, John. I'm sorry. I know, it's easy for me to say, right? You've suffered. I'm not suffering.
Good stuff, John.
Great, John. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
All right, great talking to you guys. See you later.
You too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to articulate it, David, but you see a guy like that come up, and he's usually got a different uniform on, and you don't see him.
Okay.
Like the White Sox.
Hold on a second, though.
Yeah.
Ronald Acuna with speed?
With
Acuna
speed.
Had 37 stolen bases last year.
Uh-huh.
How fast is Louis Robert?
Faster.
This is
faster,
I mean,
than.
Acuna is fast.
He's like, I mean, his tools are so good that you're going to have to give him credit for more than five. He's like a seven-tool player. Like, he just because a couple of them count double. What do you think?
You're going to be the next Maestro.
That's the new challenge in Chicago, finding ways to describe Luis Robert with all of his tools that go beyond five.
I'm going to say Mike Trout with speed.
Okay.
All right. We're having fun. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.